Lord, what do you want me to do with this person? It's clear. They don't belong to me. I've allowed you and my sovereignty to be connected to them. You will be a witness for me. Your job is not to save them. Your job is to give them the gospel. Your job is to demonstrate the gospel. It's my job to save them as I will, not as you work. Did you catch that? I run into a believer. What am I to do? Your job is to keep helping them grow in their character and grow in their faith. When they are in troubled times and situations, you bear burdens, you meet needs, you give them the truth. For what perspective? As you give it to them, you're trying to help them grow in some area of their life that's deficient and help them grow in some area of their life where they don't truly have the faith that they claim they have in some characteristic of God. And you do that all the time. It's secondary if you like them or not. It's secondary if we can go hang out and have fun. Those are wonderful things, but that should be secondary to the primary. Imagine what would happen, saints, if we actually started to live that way in our relationships. Is that not what God would have us to do? Is that not what we've been saved for? It will make us value every individual that God brings into our life. I have a personal mission statement. And my personal mission statement is that after you've met me, your life is not the same. There's something you learn about yourself, and there's something you learn about God that causes you to make changes in both areas. I want on my tombstone, Nicholas walked with God and tried to teach others how to do so. That's my mission. That is the only reason God redeemed me from the pit of hell, is that I could be useful to him as I walk in fellowship with him and he changes my character. There's no other purpose for my existence. No other purpose. And guess what? There's no other purpose for your existence. So the most valuable commodity you have is not that IRA, not that 401k, and if you're like me, a nonprofit, not the 401b. Okay? It's not your home. The most valuable commodity you have are the relationships that God has blessed you to be in. Now, why do I say all that? Because you and I need to be thinking about Christ-centered relationships. And so as we walk into where I want to go, I want you to look at your notes or look at the PowerPoint. I want to give you a definition of a Christ-centered relationship and what that looks like. And we can basically define it as this: relationships that are primarily devoted to helping one another, think about these things, underline this somewhere in your notes, believe in Jesus Christ, become like Jesus Christ, and belong to the community of Jesus Christ. And I like to say it this way: believe, belong, become. You lead them to believe, to belong to the community, to become like Christ. That's the agenda. I mean, when you think about God-honoring relationships, everyone you encounter, you've got an agenda, but it's a good one. Does this person believe? No. So then my objective is that through this relationship, if God wills, I want to lead them to believe. Do they belong to a church? No, they really don't. Well, okay, if they are believers and not belonging, then I need to get them connected because they are out of order, because the Bible says forsake not the assembling of believers. And that wasn't just church attendance. That was connecting to the community for accountability. And I need to lead them to become. What does that mean? Growing up in the character, the conduct, the conversations, the commitments, the commodities, the communions of your life to look like, taste like, even smell like Jesus Christ. That's our existence. Why am I here with you guys? You belong to Jesus Christ. What's my objective? I want to give you something that will lead you to move into becoming more like him and connecting more to him. There's no other reason why I'm here. I mean, I do like you and I like hanging out with you. But the ultimate objective is that you hear something to say, you know what? This is an area of my life I need to grow up, and this is an area of my life where I need to embrace him. Christ-centered relationships, guys. It's about leading people to believe, to belong, to become as it relates to Jesus Christ. Now, given all of that introduction, that gets us down to these four levels of relating that I want to talk to you about. And I want us to explore these four levels of relating together. And you will discover that in the book of Proverbs, we see this, and it comes in a very particular interesting way. So in the book of Proverbs, turn to Proverbs 27, verse 5 to verse 6. Now remember, when you're studying the book of Proverbs, Proverbs does two things for us. It either gives us a prescription for life, or it gives us a description for life, of life. And sometimes the description will give us a prescription, and sometimes the prescription, we find descriptions. So all of that, we're going to look at a proverb that basically they are standalone proverbs, and we're going to tie them together to come up with a working theology. And what I mean about standalone, I mean this. They are basically saying that if you only had these two options, one option is better than the other. It's not the best option, but if you only had these two options, one is better than another. For instance, when you read in the Proverbs, it is better for a man to live on the corner of the roof than to live in a house with a nagging wife. Now, the best option is not for him to live on the corner of the roof. Would you agree? But compared to the other option, it's better. So when you look at that, you're saying, okay, there are other options, but when he compares these two things together, this is better than this. Now, when we look at Proverbs 27, verse 5 to verse 6, we're going to see basically four relationship ways of relating that are standalone, but in comparison, we're going to see what's the better and what's the best. Are you with me so far? So in Proverbs 27, verse 5 to verse 6, it says, open rebuke is better than love that's concealed. Open rebuke is better than love that's concealed. Then verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Now let's process that. Verse 5, open rebuke is better than love that's concealed. That's one standalone. Open rebuke is better than love that's concealed. Verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Now, let's go back to verse 5. Part A, open rebuke is better than love that's concealed. Sometimes when we relate to people, we can be open and unloving. What does it mean to be open and unloving? It means you are right in what you're saying, but you are nasty in your approach. No one can challenge the facts, but man, if you weren't so nasty, they might be able to hear the facts. And sometimes when we're relating to people, we are very open. There's no question about the accuracy of the insight. There's no question about the validity of the insight. But man, could you put a little sugar on that? Do you have to be so nasty? Sometimes we are open and unloving. Let me give you some examples of what it means to be open and unloving. Rebuking others without respect. You got the rebuke right, but you're not walking in respect. Exposing, letter B, exposing sin with rudeness. Number 3, exposing character flaws with harshness. Number 4, speaking truth with no love. Sometimes when we relate to people, we can be open and unloving. Now, if that was all we had, that'd be okay, but that's not all we have. We're going to discover that there are some better ways of relating than being open and unloving. And many of you, you believe that that's right to do because you got your facts right. But when you're open and unloving, can I tell you who you're thinking about when you're open and unloving? You. It's like Popeye. That's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. And you let it all out. So why are you letting it all out? Because you care so much about that person and they just need to hear it right now? Or is that you're so upset with that person that you want them to hear it right now? See, when that happens, you're not walking by God's Spirit, and that information is, rooted in your own selfish agenda? Because there's no love with the truth? which means you didn't consider the timing. You considered where the person was. You didn't even think about, is this the best appropriate way to do this? You just want